It's you. You know, Eric was talking last week about the fruits of the Spirit. And you know, when you're in church, it's often you're doing a little bit of side-eyeing as we're talking about these different subjects of, you know, the Lord wants to bring about this fruit in your life. And we know we need this fruit in our life. And we're looking around thinking, yeah, that person needs that fruit. It'd be great if this person had that fruit. And Hunter comes over to me when Eric's talking about patience. He'd be like, yeah, you need a little patience over here. And then he said, specifically with me, I guess I do get a little short with the boys. But it did bring about this thing. We're looking around at each other, and we're thinking, okay, this is what the Lord is actually doing in our lives right now, is that he is bringing about the image of Jesus in you. And what I'm saying is like, yeah, okay, Hunter, this image of imperfect patience is being transformed into perfect patience in Jesus. That is a miraculous thing, amen? That is a miraculous thing. This is the work that is going on in us. And so the question that we should have clearly on our minds is, who are we becoming? Who are we becoming? It's less to do about what I am doing in the moment right now, because that question is only actually answered in who are we becoming. I'm becoming like Jesus. And so being rooted in him, my doings should reflect that fact. And not that I'm muscling through to make that happen, but the Holy Spirit is actively working in my life to bring about that result. Amen? And we say amen, and we agree with that so wholeheartedly, because that's what we want and long for. We want to see each other made holy into the image of Jesus. We want to see ourselves holy, made into the image of Jesus. Maybe we've never said it like that before, but we've expressed it in maybe more or less words, some unpleasant. That's what we're going after. Who are we becoming? We are becoming like Jesus. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 3, 17 through 18. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Amen? Amen. Amen. When we turn to Jesus, the veil that prevents us from seeing God as he truly is lifted. That veil is lifted. And we can all attest to this. I turn to Jesus and my eyes are opened all of a sudden to the reality of him, to the point that I look at my past self and say, how could I have missed this? It's so obvious. How could I miss this? It's so obvious. The veil is removed, the curtain is torn, and I'm granted access. And the Holy Spirit comes into my life and I can now behold the glory of God. And the beholding, this awe that's taking place, this looking at, this taking it all in, this beholding has an effect on our entire born-again being. It has an effect on our whole being. And the effect can be described as a transformation that begins to take place in our lives. From the inside out, I am a new man. Not in name only, but I'm currently becoming that which I am created to be, an image bearer of God in the image of Jesus, a child of God in the image of Jesus. And like a newborn, I slowly over time begin to, in greater degree, from one day to the next, look more and more like Jesus. You know, a newborn, they come out and everyone's looking at them being like, okay, oh yeah, I see this. Oh, they have their dad's eyes. They have their mom's eyebrow. What? All this stuff. And then they get older and you're like, oh yeah, that's definitely their mom. That's definitely their dad. Oh yeah, they look, so, all the siblings look really, really alike. And then you get really, really old. None of you guys know what this is about, but you get really old and then you start to look like them even more and you take on traits like them. Riley says, man, you're becoming like your dad. Get out of bed hunched over like him. I don't have a missing eye, so we're going to try to keep that. But this is what's taking place. I am in the Holy Spirit, and he's doing a transformation in our lives. From day one, I am a new man. From day one, I am a son. From day one, I have the Holy Spirit. But day two, I'm slightly different. Day three, even more so. And so on and so on. And I love that Paul uses degree of glory to the next, because you know a degree, it's like that. Ever so slightly. And then one day you're like, man, I am different than I was. And you start to see this effect in your life that's taking place. Because as I behold the glory of God, and as the Spirit dwells within me, his work of growth and transformation and rejuvenation and restoration is taking place in my life. And as I behold the glory of God, it's like the sun on a hot summer day, not quite to me because I'm a little darker. I take the sun well, but to some white people I know. I guess I'm using my wife again. She put her hand up. Man, it has an effect on you, right? You stand on the sun and it scorches and it burns and it has an effect. And as we behold the holy, perfect image of God, it has an effect. And it's a good effect. It's a transforming effect on our lives that's taking place. It's the effect of freedom. When I'm set free from darkness, it's important to remember that I'm not only being set free from something, but more importantly, being set free to something and for something. I'm being set free to Jesus to experience the reality of his sacrifice. I'm being set free to the Father to know him as the good Father that he is. And I'm being set free to the Spirit to be filled by him. And I'm being set free for transformation one day from one degree of glory to the next. Amen? Amen. This is what's taking place. And from the moment you are set free, the Holy Spirit is at work in you. The Holy Spirit is at work in you. Even to the point that if, man, you're looking for change in your life, well, he's going to bring more than change. He's going to bring transformation. But what that transformation you're looking for, it's just turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. All the time I hear people coming up, man, if I could just do this, if I could just do that, I'm like, do you know Jesus? Nope. Okay, step one. Get to know Jesus, because he's going to bring about that transformation that you're actually looking for. And I want to be clear about this. He is making us holy. He is making us holy. Hebrews 10:14 says this. It says, for by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. In other translations, it says, those who are being sanctified. We are being made holy. This is the process of sanctification is the process by which we are being made holy by the Holy Spirit in us, day by day by day. And I want to be clear about what the Holy Spirit is up to in our lives, because his aim, his work, and his goals are to make us holy. That's to say that we would become a people completely set apart for God in the image of Jesus. And I want to put it this way, that the Holy Spirit is not moving you toward that, and I'm going to use this label, that which is morally neutral. That which is morally neutral. His aims are not simply that you would stop doing bad things. His aims aren't simply that he would make us into better people or better images of our past self. He's not moving you toward being a more refined version of your past self. He leads us from evil and neutral alike into the holy places of God, making us ready to do every good work, as it says in 2 Timothy. To put off evil, yes, but to be holy vessels for the perfect will of God. This is what he's doing in us. And I want to be clear about that, because sometimes we get to one degree of glory and we stop. Okay, Holy Spirit, you've done enough. I'm good right here. And then you hear a sermon or the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you in one way, or you're in the midst of worship and the Holy Spirit says, I want to keep moving you. This is what I want to do next. You say, I'm not going there. But his aims aren't just to improve you. His aims are to transform you into Jesus. Amen? This is why self-help books and self-improvement books, they are all very flawed in the sense that they rely on self and making the self better. And Jesus says, I'm not doing that to you. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit to your advantage because I'm going to do in your life what you cannot do. I'm going to start making you look like me. And the clarity here is important because we can be fooled all too often to thinking I'm good as long as I don't do bad. But the morally neutral mentality is a lie that traps us and prevents us from going where God would have us go. He isn't working in you just so that you would not do evil, but so that you would do and know the perfect will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect in his eyes. And the only way to escape the trap of saying I'm good where I'm at is to surrender to the Spirit and to be made into that holy vessel ready for honorable use. We following? Yeah. It's good stuff. You are being led beyond human standards. And Jesus is the standard, and holiness is the goal. And the Spirit does this one degree of glory to another. The Holy Spirit is working in you. And I want to talk this morning about four aspects that, and this isn't an exhaustive list, just four aspects of his transformation in us, that as reading this verse and meditating on this verse for the last week, the Lord has just kind of highlighted. So four aspects of his transformation in us. The Holy Spirit is not a handyman who only shows up when there's a problem when you call on him. It's not his intended goal in your life. It's not his intended title in your life. He is our present help, the friend that is always with us, constantly working. And I say this to say that the transformation that he brings, his transformation is in relationship. His transformation is in relationship. He is the one who we grow in relationship with, constant and unending. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, that verse we read, 13, 14, yes. 2 Corinthians 13, 14 says, and this is when Paul, he's wrapping up the letter that he's sending to the Corinthians, and he ends with this. He says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our God is a relational God. We know this. Our God is a relational God, and he is here to commune and to fellowship with us. He's not some mystical force to be grasped or channeled, but God himself working in us for his good pleasure, making himself available to us to commune with and to fellowship with moment by moment. He transforms in relationship. He is the God who loves us, who hears us, who wants to hear your heart, who wants to be close to you, who gives us access to him and to his presence, and who embraces us. Indeed, we are created to have true communion with him. Yeah, he comes as that Savior to commune in fellowship with you at all times, right? Walking side by side, well, leading us, actually. But in us, I want you to look at how the Holy Spirit is described by Jesus. And this is where Jesus just gets done saying, hey, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. I'm going. It's going to be to your advantage. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And this is going to be your helper for what's to come. And then a couple verses later, he says this in John 16, 13. He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Helper is sent to our advantage, not as a dull, lifeless tool to be wielded, but by as a friend and as a helper who takes us by the hand and guides us into the holy things of God. Amen? He guides us as we would expect a guide to do. He comes and he says, follow me, I'm here with you always, and I'm going to lead you where to go next. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is that of someone taking us by the hand and leading us. It's the comfort he gives us is that of a loving God wrapping his arms around us. And the conviction of sins is that of a loving father who sees the errors and knows your true identity and calls you into it. It's communal. It's relationship. It's fellowship with God. But you may notice that on day one of becoming a believer, you didn't receive this kind of step-by-step plan describing each degree, right? Here's what we're going to do till you die. Then we're going to do this, then we're going to tackle this, then we're going to tackle this. What he did is says, we're going to do this. That's the end goal. I'm going to get you there. But he doesn't hand us this guide because he's going to be with us always. And he's going to guide us always. He didn't hand you a sort of Google Maps, a roadmap of your life. I don't know if anybody else does this, but when it comes to, if I'm going somewhere I've never been before, especially if it's far off, I will take a moment, I'll pull it up on Google, I will memorize the map, memorize the route. A lot of people don't. I will memorize the route. Why? Because I'm comfortable with that. I want to know what's going on next. Okay, I just took that turn and couple miles, I'm going to take this turn on this exit, and so on, and so forth. But he doesn't hand you that kind of map because he doesn't plan on leaving you. I'm here. Why would you need anything more? I'm asking you to surrender to me daily for the rest of your life. So for me, yeah, that was a very uncomfortable reality. I realized that a lot of my struggles came from, I just want to know what's next. But he's like, don't worry. I'm taking you there. If I'm with you, what do you got to worry about? The Holy Spirit is that whom we walk with. And as we grow in relationship with him, the fruits of that relationship grow. It's a relationship characterized by surrender. It's a relationship characterized by intimacy and commitment and power. And if you find yourself frustrated at your progress, anybody ever think that sometimes? I'm a little, what am I doing here? I should be way over there. Well, what's going on? If you find yourself frustrated at your progress, he hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten you. He has pursued and still does pursue you. In your sin, in your pride, in your confusion, in your ambition, in your busyness, he pursues you. And he's looking to move you forward. And if you feel frustrated with your progress, then the most common solution is surrender. There's probably an element in your life that has not been relinquished to surrender. Because he's not handing you the roadmap. He is the map. He's looking for us to surrender to him. Surrender. Let it go. Follow me and I will take you there. And this needs to be said because I don't want us to be fooled by this relational language. And sometimes we are. And there's whole congregations that are fooled by this relational language. And what I mean by that is the relational language here paints an accurate picture of the heart of God for his people. Accurate. He loves you as a child. He wants to embrace you as a child. But he is God. He is God. He won't ever stop being God. And he won't tolerate anything less than being God in your life. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so there is this aspect of this relational, I get to commune with this God. But we can take that way too far to thinking, God's my best friend and he's just going to tag along for the ride. He's, you know, I call him up. I say, hey, let's go do this or that. And he's there. A homeboy, whatever you want to, I don't know. But that surrender aspect is so important. Because if we're not surrendering, then he actually hasn't been made God in our life. And if he hasn't been made God in our life, you're not following him where he's going. You're trying to drag him where you want to go. I find myself doing this a lot, trying to force things that he's like, I'm not going over there. I'm going this way. Anybody relate to that? Yeah, you're not doing it the way I think it should go. You're not doing this. It makes me uncomfortable, this or that. Don't be fooled by the relational language. He is God. And he won't be anything less in your life. We need to set our heart's desires on him. A heart set on that which isn't God. A heart set on that which isn't God will always ignore God. Will never surrender to God. And the, I feel like I'm not growing. Everyone ever feel that? The, I feel like I'm not growing. Or this line here you've heard. I feel like I'm not being fed. I feel like I'm just not getting what I need. It may be the result of you turning God aside. It may be a result of you turning God aside by setting your desires on that which isn't him. Because when we do set our hearts on him, when we do hunger and thirst for him, what does it say? The psalmist puts it like this. It says, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. He's looking for the hungry and the thirsty to satisfy. Amen. He's looking for those who are setting their hearts on him to come into their life and say, I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to satisfy. But when we take that hunger and thirst and we place it elsewhere, and then we look to God and we say, why aren't you filling me up? He's saying, you don't hunger and thirst for me. Your heart's desire isn't for me. But when we turn toward him, and this is why the psalmist puts it like this, let them thank the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hearts of gratitude for his steadfast love. He will not leave you hanging. He will not forget you. He is taking you where he wants you to go. For the working, he's working in us, and he satisfies. Factual statement. He satisfies the longing, the hungry, and the thirsty soul. Amen? So today we set our affections on him who satisfies. And today and every day, because the Spirit is always with us to give us that which we need day to day to day. And here's the next thing he's saying. Don't live on yesterday's encounter. I'm not called to live on yesterday's encounter. We had a great Sunday in the Spirit last week. Holy Spirit filled. Holy Spirit speaking, Holy Spirit convicting, Holy Spirit empowering, Holy Spirit equipping. Amen? That all happened last week. I was here. I remember. But he did not say, hey, Stephen, go live on last Sunday's encounter today. He's not saying that because he's here to give us a newness in his Spirit. Say, I got something for you today. I got something for you today. These past encounters, they are an encouragement to me. They are. They do help me go forward. They're there as reminders of his goodness and his faithfulness. But the Holy Spirit is here today and every day anew to renew and guide us into all that he has for us. He's looking to be intertwined in your life. Intertwined in your life, to be that which never leaves and is always present. Amen? To be that whom we rely on. He's the one that we first go to for help. He's our closest and most present help. Amongst my circle, amongst my friends and family, who do I turn to for help? There's two qualifications, typically. The one who's able, the one who's closest. Right? The Holy Spirit is, I'm that which is able, and I'm that which desires to be closest. Call on me. Because the encounter we had with the Holy Spirit last week is for last week. So today we approach him in surrender, setting our heart's desires on him, and he will satisfy those who hunger and thirst for him. See, transforms in the midst of relationship. Second, I said my notes were a little long today. Second, he transforms completely and permanently. It says, from one degree of glory to another, the movement is forward. It's forward. In Paul's letters to the Galatians, Paul is so taken aback that they would do so obviously what is against the working of the Spirit. He says it multiple times in different ways in the letter to the Galatians. He says, I am astonished that you aren't moving forward in the gospel. And he said, who has bewitched you? Why are you trying to move backwards? We don't move backwards. We go forward. He says, I urge you to walk in the Spirit, to go forward with him. Going back to that which we have been freed from, going back to that which we have been transformed away from. Why would we do that? And the Holy Spirit, he leads us, transforms us. He's working in our lives so that we would never return to those old places. That we would never return to darkness, that we would never return to death, that we would never return to rebellion. It's bewildering. This is Paul. It's bewildering when we return to our old dead life. One, it's a little paradoxical. You died to that. Now you're going to go back to it? He raised you from that. Now in this new life of life, you're going to live dead? Makes no sense. The veil once removed, is it put back on? Once you have seen the glory of God, is it forgotten? No. It's ignored. It's ignored. A self-blinding takes place as we pursue sin. A glazing of the eyes happens. Do you get the tragicness of that? And the Holy Spirit, if he's looking at you and you have glazed eyes, it's a tragedy. And so you understand why he would come at you so fiercely with conviction to pull off that glazing. He's saying, you who have seen the glory of God, are you going to forget the glory of God? No, you're not going to forget. Amen. Not going to forget. This is why repentance is so beautiful. And for this reason, I'm grateful for repentance. Grateful for it. Because of the effectual glaze of sin, I cannot see the desperate situation I'm in. But the Holy Spirit sees it, obviously. And then he comes, not content to leave us in our sin. He convicts our hearts to repentance, that we would return to the life we have been called to. Thank you for repentance. Thank you, Jesus, for the repentance that leads to salvation, that leads me to your throne of grace. Amen? Amen. And then it's kind of bewildering that we would even attempt to go back on what's been made complete and permanent, because the Holy Spirit gives us new hearts. New hearts. Behavior will shift in the life of Christ. Fruits are made to bear in the life of Christ. Amen? They are made to bear. But root work is where the real transformation happens. This is the heart orientation that he does so that we don't just take on new habits. He's not in the realm of behavior modification. He's not looking for us to just take on new habits. This is why we focus on this word transformation. He's not looking for a simple change. He's coming in bringing about that transformation because it's about heart transformation. It says in Scripture that the old heart of stone is gone. Now we have a heart that is living, pumping life into us. Now you that has had a heart transplant, you're going to take that new living heart and try to do what the dead heart did? It is really starting to get mixed up here. That's why Paul goes, I'm astonished. I'm bewildered. What is going on here? What is happening here? He's ripped out the old and he's put in the new. And this new heart is it symbolizing what's actually happening. It's who you are now. It's who you are becoming. And it's as good as done. It says he who is faithful to begin the work will complete it. Amen? He leads in permanence, not in maybes, not in two steps forward, one step back, all this stuff. No. Yes, he will revisit and deepen understandings in areas. He has many times brought me to a true understanding of forgiveness. I'm just using forgiveness as an example. Perhaps now he's going to bring about an even closer understanding of forgiveness. He's going to bring us to a deeper understanding of Christ's forgiveness. This is the, you know, it's not a, I thought I already learned this moment. It's a, I have something more for you in this moment. We're going further, that next degree. Yes, I have a good understanding of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, but how vital he is and all of that, but now he has more for you. Now he's taking you further. So don't go back, but instead, with eyes on him, press forward. And we covered this in Bible study a few weeks ago. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It says, maintain a clear beholding of the glory of God. The veil's been removed. We are beholding the image of God with unveiled faces. Maintain that. Keep eyes on him. And know in all truth that he is God. And this will keep you on the path, the path being made into his image. Keep your eyes on him and don't go back. The Holy Spirit transforms for good from one degree of glory to the next. This is what he is up to in your life. You are permanently becoming like Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this work will be completed on the day of Jesus. Amen. It's a permanent thing that's happening, one degree to the next. I have a picture, I don't even know what this is called, of some sort of like gear or cog. And it's turning and it has one of those things that doesn't allow it to go back, you know? You know what I'm talking about? I'm looking at some of these handy guys. You know, I don't know. Stop on the hand crank winch. I have no idea what we're talking about. Here's number three. The Holy Spirit transforms all of God's people. All of God's people. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And when he says, as a matter of fact, we all with unveiled faces. In a few verses, you back up a little bit in our text this morning. You know, he basically says, if you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. And this is what's taking place. If you have the Holy Spirit, the work that he's first done in your life, he's removed that veil. All of us. And so now all of us beholding the glory of God. What happens to those beholding the glory of God? The transformation power of the Holy Spirit begins to take place. Amen? And what happens when that's happening? Being made into the image of Christ. All God's people. We are all becoming like Jesus. All. Look at yourself and think to yourself, I am becoming that. Then we look around to everyone else. They are becoming that. If you are in Jesus, you are becoming that. All of us becoming like Jesus. Doesn't matter your background, your current situation. Doesn't matter your current level of ability, biblical knowledge, how well you're liked or grumpy you are. Doesn't matter your gifting. You are being made into the image of Jesus. The transformation is available to all people. And so if you're thinking, man, I have not received Jesus, but what Stephen's talking about sounds pretty great. This Jesus guy sounds awesome. All you do is you turn to him. That's what Eric said. It reminds us last week, his favorite word, the whosoevers. Anyone who turns to Jesus, this takes place. This takes place. So if you haven't turned to Jesus, you turn to him. And then if you have people in your life who have not turned to Jesus, then our minds should be clear about this fact of what they need is they need the transformation power that's brought on by the Holy Spirit, that's given to us because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And we accept when we turn to him. Amen? We often say this, come as you are. And it's a true statement, come as you are. Come in surrender to the Holy Spirit. Not because you are great, because he who is great loves you and is able to transform you and is able to save you. Come as you are is not an invitation to stay as you are. Amen? It's not an invitation to stay as you are. If you are in Jesus, he isn't content with letting you stay as you are. He has given you his Spirit to transform you as we behold the glorious image of God. Come as you are, but who you came as isn't who you're going to remain to be. Because from moment one, you are a new creation. Amen? From moment one, you are being transformed. This is taking place. In Jesus, I'm made free from the wretched darkness and death that claimed me, and I'm free to be made into his image. All those who are sons and daughters are being transformed into the same image of Jesus Christ. And the beauty that is Jesus is available to all people to be received. So Eric told us earlier, invite as many people as we can next week. Because there will be that opportunity to hear clearly who Jesus is and turn to him. An opportunity for that transformation power to take place. And number four, he transforms what matters most. He transforms what matters most. 2 Corinthians 4:16-17 is one chapter after the text that we're looking at this morning. It says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. He is transforming the inner man. This is the part that matters most. The outer man is perishing. Our flesh and bones will once again be returned to dust. And everyone that is over the age of 25 understands this reality. Yeah, it gets tougher. And all of you, I'm just going to say it, old people, all you remind me of, it just gets harder and harder. Amen. Less sleep, more aches.
Who are we talking about here?
Yeah. Yeah, no eye contact. Locking eyes with John and Michael back there. They're the safe ones. Look at Eric's feeling it. And I'm thinking, man, that's what's for me. You already said it. That's what's for me in 25 years. I'm going to have young bucks like Hunter call me old man. And what do you mean you can't lift that? What's going on? They do say that to me now, but that's for a different issue. But what he says, and this is why I can look forward to growing into old age, light and momentary.
What?
Light and momentary affliction. Light and momentary. Apparently your hearing goes too. I'm sorry, I could not. I hold back a lot, okay? I hold back a lot. Okay, she did. She did. But light and momentary. The doctor says, I wear contacts, many of you know that. Doctor says, they're going to get worse. You're going to get worse. My hearing, it's going to get worse. And drumming doesn't help. It's going to get worse. Paul says, light and momentary. Because the eternal weight of glory is what is in your future. Amen? And the eternal weight of glory is what's being brought about in the inner man. This is not to say that the pain you feel isn't real. Some came in with pain this morning. Some woke up in pain this morning. Perhaps there's some that aren't here because of pain this morning. The pain is real. But we take comfort and hope in what Jesus is preparing for us. We take comfort and hope to what he's doing in us right now. There's pain, there's discomfort, and yet there's joy without grumbling or complaining because of this weight of glory we see coming. This verse puts into perspective where we're at and where we're going. The pain, worth the journey, doesn't hinder the journey. There is pain that is worth the journey. We'll look back on this pain and struggle and sacrifice without regret. Without regret. The person who lays on their deathbed and looks back and sees a life of faithfulness has no regret. The person who lies on their deathbed and remembers all that Jesus has done for them, no regret. No regret. For those who have Jesus, no regret. Who have Jesus. Who have Jesus. And he loved the Lord, amen? He loved the Lord. No regret. Light and momentary compared to the eternal weight of glory that's coming. Amen? Just as the Holy Spirit is focused on the inner man, so should the inner man be our focus. So should be the inner man be our focus. How I look and my appearance, how my voice sounds, etc., whatever the outer man presents. Being presentable is nice, but in the end, it matters very, very little. The inner man is where the focus of the Holy Spirit is at. The inner man should have our focus. The outer man often acts as a distraction to the inner man. The outer man of others often acts as a distraction to our inner man. Right? Yeah. The outer man is one big distraction. And what you see on social media, and what you see on your campus, and what you see at your workplace is more often than not just a focus on the outer man. The inner man is what matters. That's where the transformation is taking place. Yeah, there will be an appearance of the outer man. There will be fruit visible for us to see. There will be fruit for others to take. But that is a signal of what's happening on the inside. The outer man, a distraction to the inner man. And the inner man is only moved. The inner man is only made new, is transformed from one degree of glory to the next by the working of the Holy Spirit. And so we surrender to him, that he would work on what matters most. Surface level work does not matter. It does not get the job done. He goes for the roots. And that's why he says, put your roots in Jesus, right? Amen. Eric and I know this when it comes to lawns and plants. The roots matter. What's happening on top? It's telling me what's happening in the roots. The roots matter. And the question that Scripture is asking us and begging us to remember, saying, who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? Are you becoming just a more presentable person? Are you becoming a more well-liked person? Those may be effects of the inner man changing, but who you are becoming is in the image of Jesus Who you are becoming is like Jesus. The worship team can begin making their way up. We are all becoming like Jesus. And if you just said in your mind, well, not me. Not me. I don't think I'm becoming like Jesus. Then it's simple. Turn to Jesus. Believe in him. Believe in him. Know that he died for you. Know that he paid the infinite price that is required to give you grace freely. Amen? And we turn to him and we say, Jesus, I believe in you, my King, my God. We need to remember who it is we are becoming and who it is the Holy Spirit is shaping us into. And the question of what are you doing is directly tied to who are you becoming. Because it is the image of Jesus. As Paul puts it in Ephesians, he says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. Because it is that I am becoming like Jesus, be imitators of God. So we say this morning, thank you, Jesus, for the veil is lifted. Thank you, Jesus, that we are beholding your glory. And thank you, Jesus, for the saving grace which you freely give because you paid with your blood on the cross. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's surrender to him this morning, knowing that, yes, he is doing this work in us from one degree of glory to the next. Father, we thank you for all of the work that you are doing inside of us. You've removed the veil and you have shown to us yourself freely, saying, behold the glory of God. And the effect of that glory is taking place in our lives. Father, forgive us for turning you aside. Forgive us for setting our affections on that which isn't you. Father, in this moment, we set our affections on you, saying we hunger and thirst for you alone, God. And we say that confidently and with joy and with gratitude because it says your steadfast love does not fail. And you will fill up those and satisfy those who hunger and thirst. So, Father, we present ourselves to you this morning with open hands, with hearts full of gratitude for you. I ask, Lord, that you allow us to express that together in worship, in song this morning for one last time. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.